You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Spend your afternoon
with Relebo Gile Mabotja
on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
8 minutes to 2 o'clock, and we're going to have a conversation specifically for World AIDS Day, and that is to get to know and understand what exactly PrEP is and what it's used for. We're joined by Samkele Mkhumbuzi, who's a pharmaceutical care speaker and health promoter. Samkele, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for speaking to us on this World AIDS Day.
Good afternoon, Lebo, and a warm greeting to our listeners. I'd like to say happy World AIDS Day to everyone.
Samkele, can you just check for me? Are you on, am I on a loudspeaker, or can you speak directly into your handset because we're struggling to hear you?
I am not on a loudspeaker. Can you hear me now?
Okay, that's a little bit better, yes. Okay, so Samkele, let's start with explain to us what PrEP is. I know that it stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. Maybe you can share what that means.
Okay, great. So I think the first term that we need to debunk is the word prophylaxis, which is a medical term to actually deploy prevention. So pre-exposure means that you're preventing any risk of transmission or actually acquiring HIV before you get exposed to the mode of transmission. So PrEP is essentially a novel intervention that's allowing the youth and the general population to prevent the transmission of AIDS, which we know has been quite crippling to our community.
So in what circumstances would one be asked to start taking PrEP? So one of the circumstances I'm very aware of is that part of the protocol for any person who has been raped is for them to be put on PrEP.
Yes, you're quite correct in that. So when you look at the global spectrum, you start to find trends on who's acquiring HIV, how are they acquiring it. And from this data, you start to create these interventions. And for PrEP specifically, we've looked at high-risk populations, such as women, teenage females. You look at men who have sex with men. You look at female sex workers and even mothers that are HIV positive because they pose a risk to transmit that HIV to their child. So all these people will form part of the category that gets focused on when you say who's eligible to get PrEP and who isn't. However, in the same breath, we've tended to find that in the youth, people who have multiple sexual partners and people who engage in a lot of sexual activity feel that they also should be included in this category. So it isn't a black or white type of discussion. At the moment, it's still evolving, and a lot of people are finding that they should be included in this PrEP program.
So in terms of, I mean, there was an article that came out, I think, about a week ago where a woman had gone in and she had been told to begin PrEP. I don't know the circumstances under which she was told to be given PrEP, but then it turned out, and I haven't done any fact-finding with this, but in the situation, apparently she was given ARVs instead. But somebody was trying to clarify to say some of the things that are in PrEP are also in ARVs. Is that correct?
Yes, so I fully remember hearing this article, and it created quite a storm on social media.
Yes.
And to clarify, the exact same medication that we use to treat an active HIV infection is the exact same medication that we use for PrEP. And the science behind this is the moment you have enough of the drug in your system, you're able to suppress that virus even before it starts growing in the body. Whereas if you have an active infection, you only administer the medication after the virus has reached certain levels in the system. So a lot of people have asked this question, and I think it's important as healthcare professionals to put that clarity out, that the medication that you use for HIV is exactly the same as for PrEP. It's just that there's different classes, and there's only one specific class that you would use for PrEP, simply for avoiding side effects and for ensuring that people adhere to the medication.
So what would the reason be that one would be encouraged to take PrEP if they have not already been exposed and they're not necessarily, having active, many sexual partners and things like that. Is there a medical reason why that could be or would be the case?
There isn't. So I think that's where the silver lining will come in with PrEP, where you have to first acknowledge yourself as a high-risk individual. And with that, the healthcare system will guide you and assist you to know and to determine whether you should be on PrEP. Other than the criteria that I've listed earlier with your high sexual behavior or you having a risk of getting raped or even being a sex worker, there isn't any underlying factors such as medical conditions that predispose you to having HIV. It's simply very focused on your behavior as an individual and whether you actually interact with other social factors like your cultural aspects, your religious beliefs, etc.
Are there any side effects that one needs to be aware of?
Yes. So prior to you being initiated on PrEP, your healthcare professional will do a baseline check. They have to look at your kidney function. They'll look at whether you have any blood disorders like anemia and then also any other mental health conditions. The reason for this is because the PrEP medication can cause a bit of complications to your mental health. Some people may experience anxiety and psychotic behaviors such as confusion, and then they can also have challenges with their kidney function, especially when you start the medication. So those are things that you will continuously be monitoring throughout your PrEP course or your program.
Samkele, thank you so much for sharing all of that information. I think there is quite a bit of misinformation around PrEP, and you've brought a lot more clarity and understanding, especially explaining what prophylaxis means, which is what PrEP is, pre-exposure prophylaxis. Such an important conversation on this World AIDS Day.